The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Intermission, Journey to Wellness, with your host, Patty Campbell. Everyone has the potential and ability to heal themselves. But it's easy to lose our way with all the junk that clutters our minds and lives every single day. In the next hour, we'll show you how to find your healing potential, as well as give you the tools to help others to do the same. Now, here's your host, Patty Campbell.
Hello, and welcome to Intermission, Journey to Wellness. I'm your host, Patty Campbell. Last week, we were discussing energy around us with freelance writer Kelly Boyland. Today, we will be discussing breast cancer and beyond. Today, my show is very personal to me, and I wanted to do it for two reasons. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I felt I needed to have a show about that. And I have worked with a company called Radiant Health Imaging, and what they do is clinical thermography. It is the ultimate in early detection. Once infrared technology was declassified by the military, many industries began to understand and leverage, including the medical research field. Digital infrared thermal imaging or thermography is a highly sensitive, non-invasive imaging procedure with digital technology, and the temperature data collected by an infrared camera creates a thermal map of the human body. And this allows for a look into the sympathetic nervous system via the skin blood flow. I know this all sounds very technical and everything, but what it does, the human body is thermally symmetrical, and our normal thermal patterns are consistent and repeatable. We can use comparative views left to right to detect the physiological dysfunction within the body. The pathology or the injury will cause a sympathetic change in most cases through the thermal imaging from right to left, because we're symmetrical. If one side is hotter than the other side, it'll show with a red image. And that's what the thermography detects. And usually the color that is on the image will show if there's something going on in that part of the body. And then you can go and have testing done with a medical doctor via mammogram, CT scans, CAT scans, whatever, because this image will show that there's an area of concern. So the benefits of it are basically early detection of an abnormality. So that's why it's so highly used in breast cancer imaging. The imaging procedure is done with a lot of pre-breast cancer cases or monitoring, and it has less of a radiation effect on the body. There's not so much radiation when you do it with that. And it basically just alerts you to any changes in your body. And I've worked with a company here in our area called Radiant Health Imaging, And you could go to their website, www.radianthealthimaging.com, to learn more and take your health into your own hands. So that's one message I wanted to get out there so that we can be proactive in our own health. And my second reason is of a personal nature. While I don't suffer or have ever suffered from breast cancer or anyone in my family, we've never had a case of cancer in my entire family on either side, as far as I know, as far back as my parents and my grandparents could remember. We have never had a cancer scare in our family, which I'm very thankful for. But the reason this is so special to me and so close to my heart is because last year in October, I lost a really good friend. Her name is Andrea, but I call her Andy. And Andy's mother, Faye Sporletter, is here with me today. And her family story is one that I think you all need to hear, because it's a story of survival, loss, and action. So I want you to help me to welcome Faye Sporletter to the show. Welcome, Faye.
Thanks, Patty.
Faye, first of all, let's tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the talking about breast cancer.
Okay. I'm originally from Wisconsin. I married Ray Sporletter, and that's been over 45 years we've been together. We have three businesses in McGregor, Iowa. Botel's Marina, we rent out houseboats and pontoons. We also have McGregor Marina, and then we have our restaurant, Mr. McGregor's Beer and Brats Garden, that overlooks the river. We have two children, Andrea and Leah. Andrea has three kids, Corbin, who is 10, Kate is 8, and then Alexandria is 6. And Leah has a little girl named Shelby, and she'll be 4 at the end of this month.
Oh, so let's go to the beginning of your story. Your story begins with you. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about your story regarding breast cancer. As this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I want to focus on the breast cancer part of it. I know there's lots of other cancers out there that we should focus on, but I want to talk about, in particular, breast cancer. So let's start at the beginning of your story. You were a young mother of
two children, and then
but about how old were you then?
I was probably like 20, about 31.
About 31 years old.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And let's go from there.
Okay. I had, of course, two children, and Andrea was probably 3 at the time. And then Leah was 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And I was breastfeeding her, and I felt a lump. And I called the doctor, and he thought, oh, it'd probably just be a milk duct plugged up, but we'll check it. And they did a biopsy on it, and it was cancerous. Mm-hmm. I went in right away and had my left breast removed. I had no treatments at the time. They felt they got it all. They did take, I think it was like 8 lymph node glands. And no treatments. They kept an eye on me all the time. I went every 3 months, 6 months in.
But this was 38 years ago.
Yeah, 38 years ago.
Okay, so the treatments then were radical.
Yes, it was a radical mastectomy. So they took absolutely everything. It was actually concaved in. They took, got real close to the pectoral muscle. So everything was gone. They took everything and...
And they didn't leave any tissue behind.
Nothing at all.
So no. you were disfigured.
I look like I belong in a circus. I felt like it. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up having no treatments, and they watched me, and they said after it was 5 years had passed, and after 5 years, 6 months, they had said, oh, you're fine. You're as good as the next person, and mm-hmm. you'll be fine. Well, I got it 6 months later and on my right side, and I got it.
How did you know you got it?
I felt a lump again.
Okay.
And I always check that all the time. And
you always
I think
did your breast exams.
Every woman should do that. I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I did find one on my right breast, and we went in, and it was cancerous again. Mm-hmm. And that one was very hard. It was, they did the biopsy, like I said, and they found it. I had surgery. and they removed everything, and 13, I believe, lymph node glands. Well, then they wanted to give me heavy chemo, so I did. They gave me a year's supply of chemo back in those days for in 6 months' time. So I got very sick. I didn't get anything for nausea. In those days, they didn't give you too much of anything. They were just trying to save you. And so I'd get chemo the beginning of 1 week, and then I'd have 3 weeks before I'd go back again. I was so sick, and thank God for my husband. I ended up sleeping on the bathroom floor, that's how sick I was, with a sleeping bag and a pillow for 2 days straight, and I was just throwing up bile, you know. And it was
the poison that they were pumping into you.
Coming out, and it got to the point where I was just, it was just so bad. But I remembered my husband with the two children, and they were so strong, and I needed to keep hanging in there, even though there was days or times that I didn't want to keep going. It was just too hard, you know. But I did get through it.
And did you, at this time, did you lose your hair?
No, they were trying a new experiment, and it was like they gave me, it was like a football helmet. And they had put ice in between the helmet, and they put it on a half hour before on my head, and it stayed on through the whole treatment and left it on a half hour later. And I don't know if it's froze the nerve endings of my hair or how that worked, but I did keep my hair. I had maybe, I might have lost like a handful. And my hair before was just so straight. And it turned out when I finally got all done, it was real kinky, real curly, and it was real dark.
But you didn't lose any of it. It just changed.
No, just changed, and I lost about maybe a handful of that. So it was a good experiment. I don't think they do it anymore. I don't know. I've never heard anybody else having such a thing done, you know.
Did you with all of that throwing up and everything, were you and having so much of that chemo every 3 weeks, did you lose a lot of weight too?
No. That never happens to me. No, I don't think I did. I kind of went up and down, but not enough to make a difference.
So when you were throwing up and all of that, were you trying to be a mother too?
Yes. Well, at that time, my husband was so supportive in there. And the 3 weeks that I had without the chemo, you know, I get my health back. I felt so much better. And I get taking care of the children and everything, and then it was time to go back into the hospital and get a treatment again. And that got me sick for probably a week, and then, you know, then I was ready to go again, and it's just repetitious. And after 6 months, I was ready to go.
So when you were going through that, how was your little daughter, that three, Andy, how was she reacting through all this? Was she like distant and tried to stay away from you, or was she clingy?
No, she was distant. She couldn't understand what was going on. She knew Mama was very, very sick, but she couldn't help me. She didn't know how to help me. You know, I got all the lovin's and all that, all the hugs that a mama needs, but she tried to help her dad as much as she could around the house. Well, being three, you can't do very much.
But, right.
She didn't like to see me in the bathroom, you know, throwing up and stuff like that, and she couldn't help me. She'd get me little glasses of water, but at that age, you know, who knows what goes through a child's mind.
I
didn't like her to see what was happening to me, but she knew from her dad that I had to do this to get better.
Well, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to take a small break and be right back. This is Intermission Journey to Wellness with my very special guest, Faye Sporletter.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Do you need a day to relax, unwind, and rejuvenate? If you live in or are visiting Northeast Iowa along the Mississippi River, the Green Room Spa has what it takes to help you. From the moment you walk in the door, an invisible blanket of surrounds you. If you spend the day or an hour getting the services that best suit your needs, massage, facial, manicure, or pedicure, you will be revived and ready to go. Call the Green Room Spa today to schedule an moment at 563-873-2639. That's 563-873-BODY. Tune into the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
For 27 years, KidStar has empowered thousands of kids across the country.
And now we have the opportunity to empower children around the world.
KidStar is announcing a new radio show called Voyage Earth.
Voyage Earth will empower kids from across the world.
KidStar has created a Kickstarter campaign just for this new undertaking. By pledging to Kickstarter, you pledge for a future of empowered people to come.
My name is Raina, and I'm a producer on Voice America Kids. I want to thank you for being a backer of our Kickstarter, Voyager.
Kidstar, we empower kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are tuned in to Intermission, Journey to Wellness. To reach host Patty Campbell, please send an email to myintermission@gmail.com or visit us on the web at www.greenroomspaonline.com. Now, back to Intermission.
Welcome back to Intermission. I'm your host, Patty Campbell. Before the break, we were talking about breast cancer and beyond. With my very special guest, Faye Sporletter. Faye, we were talking about you going through your treatments with Andy, how she was treating you a little distant, but she was mm-hmm. still giving you all the hugs and kisses and things mm-hmm. like that. So let's pick up there. And Leah, of course, she was very small. She mm-hmm. she had no idea what was going on.
No clue.
But did Ray take care of the kids for you? Or did you have help in?
No, Ray took care of the kids. We were in Colorado at the time, so all of my family, of course, was out here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And his family's in Nebraska, so he did most of it, yes. He did all of it. Fine job. Mm-hmm. Very supportive.
And still did it and went to work and yes. everything. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know how any woman gets through this without friends and family and the good Lord. It's just so hard. But mm-hmm. with all that help, all that support, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Keep the positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important.
Well, later in the show, everyone's going to find out what I already know, how mm-hmm. remarkable mm-hmm. the women in your family, how strong they are. And amazing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to know it by the end of this show, that your family is amazing. So let's pick up the story there. You got sick and you mm-hmm. had all the treatments within mm-hmm. 6 months. What happened next?
Well, I just stayed healthy and I kept getting going to the doctor and checking all the time. And then I decided I wanted to do reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in those days, like I said, they took everything from your breast, so everything was concave because it was radical mastectomies. And to get that done, the doctor would have to take skin grafting from the inside of my legs for some more skin to put implants in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had enough skin to stretch to make them at least have a breast there. And I chose to do that. My husband didn't want me to do this at all because I had gone through so many surgeries as it was, and he was okay with this. But being a woman, I wanted to do this. This was something I needed to do.
For yourself.
For myself. Mm-hmm. And so I had it done. They took all the skin that was left that they could find and then put the implants in. Well, in those days, they didn't save the nipple. Mm-hmm. And because it was radical mastectomy, everything was gone. And to get that done, I needed to get that done. So they took a skin from the darkest part of your body, which mm-hmm. was in your vagina, mm-hmm. and they made the nipple with that, and then the little nipple part of it, the front part of it, they took a cartilage from behind both of my ears and put that on. And mm-hmm. so I was sore everywhere.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But it did work. And nowadays, I guess they do it totally different. They tattoo it on or something. Uh-huh. But in those days,
I think it's because when they take the skin, this is just what I've heard from other survivors, is when they take the skin from a different part of your body and make a new nipple for you and the area around there and that, sometimes the skin grafting doesn't take. And then you have more of a disfigurement than you had before you started. That's what I think is. I'm not a professional on it by any means, but that's what I think. If anybody out there knows the real reason or the real thing, please email me at myintermission.com and correct me, and I will correct that statement. All right, myintermission@gmail.com. Okay. Anyway, so you went through that, and then what's next? What happened next?
Well, I just kept getting having the doctor check everything, and everything was fine. And 38 years later, I am still here.
Yay! You know? and you haven't had any more bouts of cancer or anything.
No.
But then you. The next thing that happened in your life, 17 years ago, you said, or something, your mom was diagnosed.
And my sister.
And your sister.
My sister Valerie was diagnosed, I think, first. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It's 17 to 20 years ago. And she had breast cancer. And she had, she went through the chemo. She went through the radiation. And at the same time that Val was doing that, within a week's time, mother got breast cancer. So the two of them were having breast cancer or cancer together, and mother did not get chemo, radiation, or anything like that. She just had her breast removed. She did not choose to have reconstruction done. At the time, she was 81 years old, and she said, I'm too old for that. You know, she didn't need to go through any more surgeries. But Val did the chemo, the radiation, and then it turned out that it spread through her body, and then she did pass. Yeah.
So how long from the time she was diagnosed to the time she passed was there?
I really don't know. I'd say less than a year.
Wow.
Yeah,
it went fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But your mom is 91.
She's 91 now. Yeah. She's a survivor. She's a strong one.
She's a spitfire.
Yeah, she's a strong one in the house.
what's the name that everybody calls her? Oh, Grandma Cuckoo.
Yeah, Grandma Cuckoo.
They call her Grandma Cuckoo. And a lot of people that know her call her Grandma Cuckoo.
Yes.
And it's not because she's cuckoo. It's because she's so much fun.
Yeah,
she's just so much fun. Yeah, she's always got to have her makeup and lipstick on, and she looks amazing. I mean, you would look at this woman and not know that she's 91.
Yeah, and she's gone through an awful lot. She lost two children, you know, and then the cancer. And she's just the strong one in this family. It's all because of her that I am so strong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now we're probably going to get into the hard part of your story. And we're going to talk about your daughter, Andy.
Oh, okay.
And her, you know, so let's go from there. Let's tell Andy's story.
All right. She was 40 years old, and she had told me that she was going to the doctor and getting some checkups. And, you know, she didn't want to worry me. She always was the type that I didn't need to know because I don't want to worry mother. So she had told me she went to the different doctors. I found a question around, and she said, well, I had a biopsy done on my breast. I found a lump. Well, then I panic, of course, and so she says, well, I don't know the results, Mom. I'll let you know. And the next day, the doctor did call her. Well, the funny thing was that in my days, when you had bad news, the doctor had you come to his office, and he told you the bad news. Well, I guess they don't do that anymore. But she was at Walmart with her three children shopping, and the doctor called her and told her that she had breast cancer. And, of course, she dropped everything, took her children, and called me to pick up her kids that she found out she had breast cancer. So she tells me that on the phone. I'm panicking, and I take her children, and she went home to her husband, Tom, and to help deal with it and figure out what they're going to do. So
now, I'm just going to stop you right there. She got that diagnosis. She came to your house, and she says, Mom, I have breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Take the kids. I need to be with Tom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does that do to you as a mother at that moment? What did I mean, you knew you had to focus your attention on the children, mm-hmm. but as a mother.
Yeah. I had such flashbacks and I thought, oh no, this can't be. I wish that if a person could take it away, I would surely take that away so she would have to go through all that. Uh-huh. But it doesn't work that way. My husband was worried about me, how my feelings were going, you know, my mind was going crazy. But I knew that she had to get through this, and I felt she was going to get through this at the time, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know. And she actually just dropped the kids off at a spot in town because she was going to go, and she was trying to handle it the best she could and didn't want the children to see or hear this right now. Mm-hmm. So then when my husband called me, he said, well, how are you doing? And I was on my way to be with him and the children, so... Mm-hmm. I had such mixed feelings. It was absolutely horrible, actually, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I had to be strong for her and for her children.
Mm-hmm. And they were how old at that time?
They were, let's see, Corbin would have been 9, Cade would have been 7, and Alex would have been 5. Yeah, so they were little, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they knew the word cancer, and they knew it was not a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a bad word in our home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... You're sitting there. She's with Tom. I mean, this is hard for me to picture that you're sitting there as a mom mm-hmm. who had been through all this, mm-hmm. who went through the breast cancer, who had her breasts removed, mm-hmm. who went and laid on the bathroom floor throwing up, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, what in the hell am I going to do?
Yeah, yes.
To protect my baby from
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm. Thinking of everything that she was going to be going through. But I also thought of the treatments nowadays are so much better than 38 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. but it was never a guarantee. I wanted to help her through it. You know, her sister was there right by her side. Mm-hmm. So we all had to be there. She had very good support. Mm-hmm. And then she was ready to do her treatments.
Mm-hmm. So she came back and got the kids, and I did you sit down with her and tell the kids, or did her and her husband?
Her and her husband did, yes.
Mm-hmm. And did the kids take it?
They knew it was bad, and they knew that Grandmama needed help, and she explained everything that was going to be happening. And at that age, you feel they understand, but how much do they, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine Alex being 5, she mm-hmm. probably didn't get it mm-hmm. and all of that. But I know that because your family has had multiple bouts of breast cancer at this time, mm-hmm. you're thinking genetics.
Yes.
And you
yes.
might be thinking, what about this little girl, Alex?
Exactly.
What about my grandsons, mm-hmm. Cade and... Mm-hmm. Caden and
Corbin,
yeah, because it is in men too.
Yes, it is. Yes,
and so mm-hmm. I as a person who has not had to deal with this, mm-hmm. I can't imagine how difficult this would be, and how what would I say? What would I do if mm-hmm. this was in my family? I don't know that I would be as strong as you women are and have been. And thinking about what's on the road down for you and mm-hmm. all of that. But I do know that that you guys are survivors. And I do know that if it ever came where I was diagnosed with that or something, I would want to have a direct connection to you and your family, because it seems like you have enough experience to deal with this. And we're going to continue with Andy's story when we come back. But right now we're going to take a small break. And this is Intermission, Journey to Wellness, with my very special guest, Faye Sporleader, and we're talking about breast cancer and beyond.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Do you need a day to relax, unwind, and rejuvenate? If you live in or are visiting Northeast Iowa along the Mississippi River, the Green Room Spa has what it takes to help you. From the moment you walk in the door, an invisible blanket of surrounds you. If you spend the day or an hour getting the services that best suit your needs, massage, facial, manicure, or pedicure, you will be revived and ready to go. Call the Green Room Spa today to schedule an moment at 563-873-2639. That's 563-873-BODY.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are tuned in to Intermission, Journey to Wellness. To reach host Patty Campbell, please send an email to myintermission@gmail.com or visit us on the web at www.greenroomspaonline.com. Now, back to Intermission.
Welcome back to Intermission. I'm your host, Patty Campbell. Before the break, we were talking about breast cancer and beyond with my guest, Faye Sporleader. We were telling Andy's story, and Andy was diagnosed.
Yes.
And the doctor told her on the phone. So let's go from there. Let's pick it up there. What happened next?
She needed to go to the doctor, to the hospital, and get some testing done, the blood work and everything. And she was going into surgery to have, I think it was her right breast removed. I honestly can't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. And so she had to choose if she wanted the other one removed also because of the high risk factor. And she did choose to take both of them off, even though they felt there might not be any cancer, but she did have it removed too. So she had both breasts removed and she had a hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. So she had all this done at the same time. When she got done having her surgeries done, they did the biopsy, or they checked in the labs on her breast that was supposed to be the healthy one, and they did find cancer there. And the doctor said, well, it's a good thing that we did remove that, because I would have saw you, meaning Andrea, 5, 6, 7 years from now, we would have been back in the same boat we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing that she did that.
Mm-hmm.
She went through all her surgeries, did all her tests every month, and she had reconstruction done.
Mm-hmm.
And she did have the skin that was left. And they put
because they left a pocket
they
there.
They left the pocket there for her. They did put the implants in. They didn't get as far as doing the nipple yet, because she had to heal through all this. She was getting radiation and chemo, heavy doses of both of them for some time.
And she had these little drainage pouches that I remember her saying, oh, I got what did she call them? Her little footballs?
Yeah, or her grenades. Her little
grenades, yeah. That is it.
They look like little baby grenades.
Yeah, they were like little baby grenades that were attached to all of her bandaging and everything that hung out on the bottom. She says, yeah, I'll probably get these grenades removed one of these days. Mm-hmm. But she had those little drainage tubes. Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
And eventually she did get them removed. That was just to keep the drain, you know, keeping them so there wouldn't be anything set back up in there. And she had them for quite a while, and eventually one got removed and the next and the next. And she was doing very well, did all her treatments, and then she ended up getting an infection in one of her breasts. So they ended up taking the implant back out. Mm-hmm. And leaving that for a month or so, or maybe longer, and waited till that infection was gone. And then she had to have it done all over again, and have the implant put back in. Mm-hmm. So she was set to go. And everything was turning out very well. We had a one-year party, thinking that she was going to be okay and celebrating.
Mm-hmm. And we had her 40th birthday party also.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all of that. She didn't like turning 40, but nevertheless. And so then she started feeling very sick. And she called the doctor, and they said, well, we better check your blood, do some blood work on you. And she was bowling, of course, and the doctor calls, and she said, I think we might be looking at acute leukemia. Come on in tomorrow and plan on staying overnight, and we'll do a bunch of blood work and see where we stand. Well, I'm there with her, and she's bowling, and, you know, she didn't even shed a tear. She went up, and she got a strike. Uh-huh. She so reminds me of Mother. And just keep on going, you know. And so the next day, her father took her up to the hospital, and Tom, her husband, joined her. My daughter, Leah, was feeling very funny, and she decided to call Tom and say, I feel you need to go up there and be with Andrea. And she said, it's just a really deep, hard feeling that I think it's necessary that you be with her. And, of course, he went right up there, left work and ran up there. And she was feeling very uncomfortable. She'd be in bed, out of bed, sitting in a recliner, and they did the blood work and just not feeling very, very well at all. And the doctors all came in and told her that it is acute leukemia and that she had 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, it depended on if she wanted to do anything with this as far as treatments. And it would be including, I'm not remembering all of it, but I know it was a bone marrow transplant and different, more chemo, more heavier radiation and all that. And there's some other things, but I can't remember. And she chose, was a fighter, and she chose to do this. She was going to fight this to the end. And she was going to take all these treatments. That meant that she'd be spend a lot of time in the hospital, but she wasn't going to give up. Well, then the doctors left, and she still was feeling very uncomfortable. And her husband told her, "About climb back into bed and do some deep breathing, hon, and it'll help." Well, she got back into bed, and he was talking to her, and she took two or three big breaths, and she was gone. Mm-hmm. She died just like that, you know. So it was a shock for us all.
Yeah, it was a tremendous blow to our community. Mm-hmm. Andy was very highly thought of in our community, and she was very active in our community. She did a breast cancer walk, mm-hmm, during the time that she was had her little grenades and all of that. She was doing stuff for other people all the time. Every event that we have in our community, we live in a tourist town. And so every event, she was having something to do with that event.
Yes.
On a volunteer basis. Mm-hmm. And she still ran one of your businesses full time.
Yes.
She was a full-time mother. Mm-hmm. She was, nothing stopped her. The one thing that I did as a friend is I would call her after her treatments, maybe 3, 4, 5 days after her treatments. That's it. I would give her a call because I felt that she didn't want to be bothered because she was feeling sick. Mm-hmm. She had a lot on her plate and all of that. And I just had a surgery here last month. And that after that surgery, I thought, okay, I want to be left alone while I'm at home this week recuperating. Well, after 2 days, I was thinking, well, why isn't anybody coming to visit me? Why is anybody coming? And I'm thinking back at this time, those other 5 days that I'm home, I'm thinking, wow, I didn't do my friend justice while she was sick. Mm-hmm. I needed to go. If I could take that moment back, I would take that moment back and go visit her. Because now I know that when you're not feeling well, yeah, there might be days that you don't want people around. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the time, it doesn't hurt to have a phone call. It doesn't hurt to have a 5-minute visit. Mm-hmm. Because it breaks up your day. Yes. And you don't have so much time to think. Mm-hmm. So for anyone listening, you think, oh, they're not going to miss me. They do. So if you care about that person, that's a lesson that I learned too late, that you need to make that call. You need to make that 5-minute visit, even if it takes you an hour to drive there. Mm-hmm. You need to do that. So that's one of my regrets.
Yes, I think that's so important. I know, like Andrea, she needed a couple days to herself, but she needed her friends, her family there. And if you thought, oh, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, just go there. Be with your friend. Hold their hand. Just sit by them. You don't have to say a thing. They know you're there and you care, you know, and phone calls. It's so important to have friends and family there. It's just a must mm-hmm. to get through it.
Yeah. And when you were in Colorado, you didn't have anybody except Ray.
Yeah, I had Ray, but I had a lot of, there was family out there, but not my side of the family. My husband's side of the family was out there.
Oh.
And they were very supportive, yes, mm-hmm. and friends, a lot mm-hmm. of friends.
Oh, so you did have some support.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yes.
Okay. So, as Andy was progressing through her treatment mm-hmm. and all of that, did she ever sit down with you and have a discussion about what was going on, her fears?
No, and that bothered me, and it also bothered my daughter, Leah, because I had talked to her saying to Leah, Andrea never spoke out about this. She never wanted to talk to me about this, and I was confused that why wouldn't she want to talk to her mother? And then I got to thinking about myself, and I was the same way. I didn't want to spill my guts out, so say, and be so negative about it. I had to get through it. And it was very hard for her not to talk to me about this. And even just to tell me that she had cancer was very hard for her. So maybe she couldn't do it, you mm-hmm. know, and I couldn't do it. I never talked to even my best friend that was out there, things, my feelings, because it's so hard on your mind, so hard on your body. And you probably don't even know where to start. You're angry. You're very angry at first. You're mad at the Lord because you have cancer. Why you? You know, you're just mm-hmm. a plain old housewife trying to raise two kids. And, you know, mm-hmm. why did you get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in my side of the family. So you just have to keep plugging along, and you have to stay positive. And you mm-hmm. have to have friends and family mm-hmm. and to get you through this. It just is mandatory.
Mm-hmm. So we will be going to a break again here in a few minutes. But when we come back, I want to talk about what your daughter Leah is doing now, because there's genetic testing out there and things like that they offer now mm-hmm. for families like yours who have a history of it. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about that and do a little bit of wrapping up of how we're going to finish out this segment. But we're going to go to a small break right now. And this is Intermission, Journey to Wellness. And I'm your host, Patty Campbell, with my very special guest, Faye Sporleader.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
Do you need a day to relax, unwind, and rejuvenate? If you live in or are visiting Northeast Iowa along the Mississippi River, the Green Room Spa has what it takes to help you. From the moment you walk in the door, an invisible blanket of surrounds you. If you spend the day or an hour getting the services that best suit your needs, massage, facial, manicure, or pedicure, you will be revived and ready to go. Call the Green Room Spa today to schedule an ah moment at 563-873-2639. That's 563-873-BODY.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market. Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are tuned in to Inner Mission, Journey to Wellness. To reach host Patty Campbell, please send an email to myinnermission@gmail.com or visit us on the web at www.greenroomspaonline.com. Now, back to Inner Mission.
Welcome back to Inner Mission. I'm your host, Patty Campbell. Before the break, we were talking to Faye about the loss of her daughter and how it impacted her family with breast cancer and everything, and how her younger daughter, Leah, is being proactive now with genetic testing and things like that. So let's talk about that, Faye.
Okay. We have such a history of cancer in our family. Mm-hmm. I had four aunts on my father's side of the family that had breast cancer. One actually had ovarian cancer, and another one had stomach cancer, which was my grandmother. And I had two cousins, both had breast cancer, and they both are gone now. And they did the genetic testing. Leah is working hard at getting her testing done, her genetic testing. She also goes in, being that she is such high risk, she gets her mammogram twice a year instead of once because mm-hmm. they require that. And she has to decide if she's going to do this genetic testing. And she's been talking to specialists on it and getting all the facts about it. And I believe she'll be doing it. It's kind of a very, I don't know if you call it bittersweet thing for her to do. You know, do you really want to find out if you have this? It's mm-hmm. it's in the family. I have a cousin that actually lives here in Wisconsin. She and her sister and brother had the genetic testing done because they're on my father's side of the family. And the two girls did not have the test or did not have the gene, but the brother did. Mm-hmm. So you just don't know, you know. So she will probably opt to take this testing and right. get this done. But then what does she do? Does she decide to have her breasts removed and mm-hmm. have implants in for prevention?
And a hysterectomy.
And a hysterectomy besides. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an awful lot on your body and your mind. But to stay alive, because she just saw her sister go through all this and her mother, mm-hmm. basically, and it's such a history of it, she has to do it.
And she has a daughter, right?
She has a little daughter. She'll be four at the end of this month.
So she's at the same place, mm-hmm. basically, that Andy was when she got diagnosed, that she had a small child.
Exactly.
And that she has to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yeah. and both girls had a girl. And mm-hmm. even though there's been it in the male side of your family, they have to think, what am I going to do for my daughter?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. that's so important because mm-hmm. you want to stay alive for her, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, yeah. So where does your family go from here?
we're just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am living with Tom and the children, mm-hmm. staying there, help raising Andrea's children. Mm-hmm. It's working out very well. The kids are doing very good. The school has been very supportive. The friends and family have been very supportive. Everyone mm-hmm. is helping everyone. I think we're going to do okay. We're hoping that Leah has to make her decisions, and we'll just go from there.
Mm-hmm. You know? And Leah is coping?
Yes, it's very hard for her, and they're very hard decisions to make, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks about her sister all the time, and she's got to make... She has to decide this for herself. No one can decide it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like when mm-hmm. I had cancer, would I want to go through chemo and radiation, or, you know... And mm-hmm. some of my family on my husband's side didn't want me to do the chemo,
mm-hmm.
you know. But this is something you have to do, and she'll have to do for herself. She has to decide that with the support of her husband.
And you know, when we talk about breast cancer, we tend to focus on the women, you know, mm-hmm. on how it's affecting them. But, you know, how are your husband, you know, losing a daughter hit? Andy's husband losing his mm-hmm. wife, and Leah's husband facing this with his wife that she might have the same thing. How are the men in your family coping?
Well, to be honest with you, they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my husband is like we are worried about our daughter, Leah, you mm-hmm. know, going through this. And then Marty having to, which is Leah's husband, having to go through all of this. You know, it's to mm-hmm. me, it's like, why do they have to do this? Why is this presented to her? Why does Marty have to have a wife that has such this history of this, you know,
mm-hmm.
going
mm-hmm.
through all of this? And Tom, Andrea's husband, he has been so supportive on all this and trying to go through all of this. It's so very hard. Mm-hmm. We just go day by day. Every day I cry. Every day he sheds a tear.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the children. We have to keep going.
And it's kind of ironic that October is the month that we lost Andy. So it's been a year
right.
this month that right. we've lost Andy. And it's been very hard. I know that this has been a very hard thing for you to do here today, Faye, and to come here and tell us your story. But I want to thank you, and I feel that you're an amazing woman, and now the world knows it, that you're strong, that you have courage, and that you have a will to live and carry on no matter what the Lord has dealt you. Despite your rocky road, you have persevered, and I wanted you to share your amazing story so that others out there can see no matter what, you can survive. Next week we will be discussing food, and that is my favorite subject in the whole world. And have you ever said to yourself, I don't know what to eat anymore? Well, my guest, Nola Childs, will have some tips for us. My question of the week is, what one thing do you eat or not eat that will help you stay healthy, that helps you stay healthy, and why? And I want you to email your responses to myintermission@gmail.com. And Faye, again, I want to thank you for sharing your story. I know it's been hard, but you're going to help a lot of people.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Life is so precious. Please be proactive in your health. Do yourself exams. Check out Radiant Health Imaging. Get your yearly mammograms and do what it takes. The answer may not always be what you want it to be, but how you deal with it with the answer makes all the difference in the world. I remember Andy as a strong, remarkable woman. She never let anyone stop her. The day she died, I seen her drive by my office, and we waved at each other and blew kisses to each other. That's how I remember her. She was amazing to the very end. We are out of time, and this is Intermission. And I'm your host, Patty Campbell. And I want to remind all of you to wave and blow kisses.
Thank you for listening to Intermission, Journey to Wellness. Please join Patty Campbell again next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. This week, find your potential and pass it on.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.